put your hands together. It was the birthplace of Triple M Sport way back when.
New era.
Make sure you've got your comfy pants on for the all-new 2020 Fresh Triple M Dead Set Legends. Gus Wallen.
The captain.
Jude Bolton.
Chris Demaculate.
Wendell Saylor.
That'll be enough for a penalty.
Because let's face it, Saturday is all right for fighting.
Yeah, welcome back to the Dead Set Legends. Gus Wallen here with Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor, and we are so close, boys.
Oh, 5 days.
So close so to the good. Footy starting, and we cannot wait. What a show we've got today. We've got Chris Lawrence from the West Tigers, Danny Wilder with an AFL update. Jude's going to give us an update on the AFL, plus have story time with Jude. Wayne Carey,
the king
coming
of dark.
One on one. Dell's movie review,
yeah.
Which will be fun, of course, vlog or not. Dell, how was your week, big fella? You didn't get as much golfing as normal. Are you coping all right?
No, I'm okay. I had two games of golf on Wednesday and Tuesday. I didn't play as good as I'd like because, mate, I'm not very good in the wind. Once it gets windy, I'm usually a fair weather golfer, so a bit different for me.
But, fair weather friend is all right.
Yeah, but on Thursday, I got to drive down the south coast a little bit, down to Jarrah and Gerringong, and have a little bit of Dell time because, look, I must admit, everyone's done a really good job in our family. But the big man just needed a bit of time to himself, a bit of self love.
Did you take the puppy?
No. It was Dell time.
Oh, so literally Dell time.
Yeah, it was Dell time.
The big fella needs a little bit of self love. How much self love does one man give to himself? I've never seen as it.
How was your week this week, Jude?
Mate, I had the kids back at school Monday, Wednesday, yes. So. You know, it's sort of it's pretty good around the house. We're all right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, your missus has been running the show, the school at home. Do you feel is she happy to hand them back to the
absolutely, absolutely. Actually, so Monday, look out, we're ready to go.
Hey, can I say I've been watching like today's show a little bit. I reckon since homeschooling's been in and about. 45% of drinking at home has gone up.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's Christmas every week at down at Dan Murphy's and BMW and Porter's and everything.
I moved the plastic and the aluminium cans into the bin into the lounge room. We're using it as a game almost.
Coming up next, it is Danny Wilder with all the latest. There's so much to talk about. The referees, of course. Greg Inglis, an exclusive. And also, we break the story about Walker. All that coming up on the Dead Set Legends.
Another Sydney Saturday morning.
Oh, you ripper.
Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
This is the Dead Set Legends on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Gus Wallen, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. You can be part of the show or the conversation at any time. 133353. We've got a man on the line now, boys. He's a friend of the show and he breaks all the big stories in rugby league. And it's Danny Wilder from Channel 9. G'day, Danny. Good morning to you.
Morning, legends.
How are you, mate? Now, lots to talk about. Of course, this time next week, we'll be a couple of games down, and we're so looking forward to that. But the big story is the referees. Can you give us an update on what exactly is happening with those boys?
Well, we're going to have one ref, as Peter Vallandis told us. It was going to happen. He's made it happen. I believe he talked to all the 22 leading referees yesterday and convince them that this was the best thing for the game. And I think that all the agitation has now stopped. He's an amazing character, Vallandis. He can just seem to get things done.
Well, Danny, it's Wendell Saylor here, mate. How you been, old mate?
G'day, Wendell.
Mate, I caught the Greg Inglis interview, and what I really liked about it, like, when did you know that he was thinking about coming back and this was happening? And also, it was great that Greggy revealed that other side of him. And I reckon... when he retired last year, he needed that break, but he had 2 weeks to make a decision. What did you get from all this?
Look, Wendell, first of all, I want to thank Greg for being open and talking about mental health and the way he addressed it. I haven't heard many sports people, if any, so open about what they've been through. I've known Greg for 15 years or so, and I've covered his career, and I've done a lot of big stories with him, and I find him a very engaging and thoroughly decent bloke. I first heard that he could be making a comeback last week. We started to chase the story up. It wasn't quite over the line, so we were told to just hang off. And then it all happened, obviously, this week. And look, I think I was at his retirement press conference, and he wasn't the Greg Inglis that I've sort of got to know.
Yep.
Albeit I don't know him as well as, you know, the players know him, but he just seemed a little bit off. It didn't feel like the right decision for him at the time.
And yeah.
I felt he had more football left in him. And obviously he's worked very hard on himself. He went back to rehab.
Yeah.
He's been diagnosed with bipolar 2, which he's happy to talk about. And he's taking medication for that. And he's in a good place. So all credit to him. He's been through some difficult, dark times, and he's coming through the other side. And I just want Greg to be happy, as I'm sure a lot of football supporters do, because I haven't seen many better footballers than Greg Inglis in my lifetime.
Now, Danny, you broke the Cody Walker story. Did you, I guess, what did you sense from, you know, his admission after it finally came to the integrity unit, and obviously the repercussions for South since?
Look, it was an interesting one. I was sitting at home, as I normally do on a Saturday night, and I started to get some phone calls that there was a video that would be available for purchase for the networks of a player, an Origin player, in a fight. I eventually found out it was Cody Walker. I took that information to South Sydney to let them know that this was being shopped around, and if they wanted to know if they were aware of it. South then told me that they were aware of it, and Cody was aware of it, and he'd in fact been to Mascot Police on the Sunday, I think from memory, to tell them that he was being blackmailed and asked for $20,000 for the video not to surface. And you know, I hear stories about this sort of thing, and I've heard this stuff, but I've never experienced that openly, that there was a blackmail attempt. The actual video, I think, look, it wasn't good for Cody. The backstory that he was good enough to explain was that his cousin, one of the men in the fight, had lost his sister to suicide. And Cody obviously had been drinking. He saw what was going on, and his immediate reaction was, in his way, to step in and look after his cousin. He couldn't throw a punch because he'd had a shoulder reconstruction, which explains the kick. But you know, and in the end, look, I think 2 weeks for what he did is about right. I think, and his honesty, the fact that he was willing to own up to it and say, "Hit me with whatever you got, I'll accept it," is an indication of where Cody Walker is as a person. I think he's had a rough time when he was younger. But I think now he's come through and he's a better person and a better man. And he understands that he's looked up to by Indigenous players, and he did the wrong thing.
Okay, thanks very much. We could talk about that all day long. Danny Wilder, thank you so much for all your reporting on this show. And, of course, on Channel 9, we look forward to seeing it during the week and into the build-up of the start of the season again. Danny Wilder, thanks mate.
Mr. Exclusive.
Thanks for having me on.
Cheers, mate.
Gus Wallen, Jude Bolden, Wendell Saylor, the Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Coming up just after 11:30, I go one-on-one with AFL legend Wayne Carey. If you can't stick around, don't forget you can catch up with our full interview on the Catch Up podcast on the Triple M app.
Another Sydney Saturday morning.
Oh, you ripper!
Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Yeah, this is the Dead Set Legends on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. You can be part of the conversation at any time. We've got some really lovely Aussie whiskey for our best callers today on 133353. So as you're listening to the boys chat away, if you agree or disagree, please give us a call on 133353. Something which has been magnificent over the last 5 Monday nights is a double version of episodes of The Last Dance. And if you haven't caught it, it's on Netflix and ESPN. It's been a wonderful journey of the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan. And this, boys, is probably the bit that I took out of it most.
It's maddening, you know, because I felt like we could have won 7. I really believe that. We may not have, but, man, just not to be able to try, that's something that, you know, I just can't accept. For whatever reason, I just can't accept it.
You know, I think MJ's got a pretty good point there. He's talking about the fact that Jerry, the GM,
Krause came
out. He's passed away now, you told me this morning, Jude.
Yeah, so I think the fact that he'd broken the team up, and I think that's what you sit there and say, if they'd just signed 1-year deal for that team to keep them there, They could be sitting there with seven rings.
That's right. And Michael basically said, and we've had the flog or not section on him. I reckon off court he's a flog, on court greatest of all time, right up there with LeBron James.
But the you point, can't put LeBron in his category yet.
But the point is, he said, don't give us the opportunity to lose what we've won. Absolutely. You know, if we then lose it, then of course strip us apart. They have not rebuilt. In fact, they're still in the rebuilding phase, the Bulls.
They didn't have the right to defend. That's the thing. They've done it back to back. The three-peatables and the repeatables is unbelievable team.
But,
I
get that. But I reckon when they won that sixth, I reckon they looked spent. Like, that was a tough one. I know what you're saying, given the chance, we're never going to know. But I reckon Krause had done too much damage with the Scottie Pippen and who he was bringing in. Is it Kukoc, that guy?
Kukoc.
Yeah. Kukoc. So I think he'd done a bit of damage there. And even I was surprised, like Luke Longley, I didn't realise that him and Michael Jordan had a heated sort of argument in the dressing room. Yeah, like,
looked a bit of a tyrant, didn't he? Jordan at different stages to some of his teammates. But just the ruthlessness of him as a player, but the quality of the team.
Well, let's talk about Pippen for a moment. You've got his hat on there, Wendell.
Yeah,
there's another bit of audio from The Last Dance. Have a listen.
If I had a chance to do it over again, I probably wouldn't change it.
This was the thing that I almost fell off the couch because he checked himself out of that last play because he was almost just saying he thought he was bigger than the team.
He was their leader.
The fact that Phil Jackson said, F him, sit him down.
And also, Pippen, for the second time, and this is why I can't believe you're wearing his hat, Wendell, he said, you know what, I've got a shoulder injury, but I've got a problem with my contract, so I'm not going to get my shoulder fixed for the start of the season. I'll have the full off-season, have a party, and then rehab during the start of the next season. Yeah. That's flog, mate. What are you doing wearing his hat, number 33?
Well, we all make mistakes. I'm disappointed.
He's made two big mistakes. He sat out of a game. He's bigger than the team. And then he's flogged up with his injury.
Yeah, then I think he was treated badly, but also, you know, he didn't respect what his team was about at that time. But I'll forgive Scottie Pippen because he did get gypped a fair bit.
But when Jordan went to baseball, he actually carried them all the way almost there. You could see how good a player
he is. And Rodman stepped up as well.
Well, let's talk about Rodman. This is when he decided to be a WWF wrestler.
So Dennis Rodman ran off after game three.
He took a detour from playing the Bulls to become a wrestler with Hulk Hogan.
Always do me, just go do what I do. You know, like say, like you said, a playoff game, I want to go wrestle. If I did this, I go over here. If I do that, I gotta go do this. You know, they gonna get the 100% when I'm on the court.
Mate, you speak about people who need time off, I get it. But mate, he's in the playoffs. Dennis Rodman, I think he won 5 rings, obviously 2 with Detroit, and he was great. But I couldn't believe it was such an important part of the playoffs and didn't tell anybody. He just, next minute you see him, he's wrestling.
He's hitting people with the chairs.
But you know what? Phil Jackson, he's got such, he knows what he needs to win that championship and so does the team. So when he came back, they're training and he's got his jammies on still.
Yeah.
To control that dynamic of those sort of egos, unbelievable.
Yeah,
coach.
He was fantastic. One of the best of all time. And so that's it, The Last Dance. What are you going to do on Monday night? Apparently ESPN has already got Tom Brady all ready to rock and roll, so that's going to be awesome
Armstrong
to
as
watch.
Well.
Really, Lance Armstrong, that flog?
No.
More on the Dead Set Legends in a sec.
Another Sydney Saturday morning.
Oh, you ripper.
Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Hey, welcome back to the Dead Set Legends. Gus Wall and Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor, be part of the conversation, and you can pick up a bottle of Ned's whiskey for the best callers. 1-333-53. Give us your opinion on this. And this is a man we're standing next to, Jude, who has played in World Cup finals in rugby union, Super League grand finals, both of those at night. You played in the last NRL grand final when the Broncos beat the Roosters.
Smashed the Roosters.
14-6 in 2000. If Hegarty had burrowed early, we would have been on the board. And I think Fitzgibbon hit the post with his conversion. Anyway, you jagged one in 2000.
Of course we did. In 98. In 97. Sorry.
Should the NRL move to a daytime grand final now that we've got this season? That's always going to have a bit of a question mark and an asterisk next to it. What are your thoughts, Del?
Look, as a player or as a fan, I think the best time to play a grand final is in the afternoon.
So 3:20 or so?
Yeah, I think, you know, mid-afternoon, you get that feeling. Because, you know, if you get to 4 o'clock, you're still sort of playing in the dark, you know, I reckon. So I reckon, like, a 3 o'clock game, you know, everyone gets up and you get excited. You've got you can get together and have barbecues and that, which you'd be able to.
Yeah.
But I reckon those daytime grand finals, because I played 98 in 2000 in the daytime, and it was a great time to play.
I played 97 Super League Grand Final at night. It's a long day for a player, and even for the fans, I know it's late. And then, obviously, in 2003, in a World Cup rugby union, we played late. Obviously, you know, it's a World Cup, it's TV rights. But I reckon for the fans, that's the best time to play. But for the TV ratings and viewing, I reckon night time.
Yeah, I'm a little bit in the same camp. I think it's for TV, it's probably a night game because of the halftime entertainment. It's in the dark and things like that. But I'm not there for the halftime end of day. You want there for the footy.
It's
and,
not the Super
and
Bowl,
that's
eh?
Why I sit there and say, have it in the afternoon. So you have the build-up, grand final breakfast, lunches, straight into the game. Then afterwards, you've got that time to party as a player or as fans, celebrate. Games sometimes finish too late for the
kids. We'll go to you next, Gus. But this year, because there's no public holiday on the Monday.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
so it's tough for the kids. I mean, this year, have it at night time because you will not have any crowds, we don't think.
Okay.
So that's one thing. I'm a nighttime guy as well. Matty Johns used to say on the grill team all the time, it was easy to play in the daytime because of the dew on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So the players could actually throw it around more.
No dew on the ball. No dew on the ball.
Because of the dew on the ball.
You'll get a better game. There's no doubt.
That's right. Well, give us a call. So many callers already on 133353. As I said, Ned Whiskey, Aussie Whiskey for the best caller. Give us your thoughts. Should the NRL move to a daytime grand final?
Another Sydney Saturday morning.
Oh, you ripper.
Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Yeah, the Dead Set Legends, Gus Wallen, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. Give us a call on 133353 and of course catch up podcast at triplem.com.au and also the Triple M app. The question we're throwing out there, should the NRL move to a daytime grand final? Dell?
Yes, I think they should.
I think it should as well.
Okay, and I reckon it should stay at night time. AJ from DY, what are your thoughts, big fella?
Hey, guys. I just think it should go back to a daytime grand final because I think they're doing themselves a disservice because the younger generation can't watch it. Like, my son can't watch it. Like, kids are tanked by 6:30 at night.
Yeah.
And one of my greatest memories growing up was hanging around watching the ARL grand final, barbecue in the afternoon with family and friends, watching the grand final, everybody throwing cheeses at each other because the opposition scored.
Yeah.
And I can't do that with my son.
Yep. Yeah. No, totally understand that, AJ. Thank you. John in Belrose, what are your thoughts? Should we change it up to a daytime grand final or not?
Yeah, I'd change it to a daytime grand final. I'd make it this year on a Saturday because it's not going to clash with the AFL in Melbourne. And that opens up for weekends away, clubs to do promotional things on the Sunday. It'd just be awesome because if you've ever been to a Melbourne grand final, that's how they do it, and there's nothing like it. Nothing like it at all.
Well, you do make a good point, John, because that whole Sunday afternoon where the players get to come back to the local oval and things like that, it's just an epic build-up. And if there's no day off after the grand final, it's important.
We'll talk about later, but even Saturday, AFL are thinking about going tonight this year.
That's true, and you reckon that's a good one. We'll talk about that in the AFL update. What about Adam up there in Newcastle? G'day, Adam. How are you?
G'day, fellas. How you going?
Yeah, we're good.
Mate, 100% has to go to the Arvo. I go away every year with my best mates from uni. We have done for about 10 years, and I'm already out cold by kickoff every single time. I don't think I've watched a grand final in about 10 years. At least if it's on at 3:20, I've got a chance of watching it.
Fair play. Good on you, Adam. And you're getting the whiskey, big fella, because by the sounds of you, you need to practice. Anyway, more on the Dead Set Legends stuff.
Another Sydney Saturday morning. Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Yeah, Gus Wallen, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor here. Give us a call anytime on 133353. Boys, can you believe it's nearly 20 years since the Sydney Olympics? And thinking about that at the time when we won that bid, Sydney, and we all went nuts. And everyone was worried about the traffic. Everyone was worried about all these people coming to our city and how we're going to cope. At the time, it was the number one Olympics, and everyone since then have, you know, obviously gone up a step or two as well. But it was very proud to be an Aussie during those couple of weeks here in Sydney.
Really proud time. I look back really fondly at that time. The Swans, for some reason, they were trying to find ways to get the Swans involved in different areas. And so, I mean, Plugger Lockett got offered the Olympic flame, the leg, the relay race.
Did he say no?
He went over the harbour bridge.
Oh,
he got offered
nice.
That, and he went, he's such an insular man. He goes, Oh, look, I'll do the mid-dawn run down in Barrel.
Yeah.
Because my cows are calving. So, like, you did it at foot. I would have done it nude over the Harbour Bridge.
I think Greg Norman or Olivia Newton-John might have done that Olympic across the bridge
Unbelievable.
There.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, Plugger got the offer.
But Plugger is a bloke. He doesn't like interviews. I think we were talking on our group chat. And I think he did one on the footy show. I think I've heard from him twice in the last, like, 15, 20 years.
I said to Jude, I said, can you get Plugger Locker for the one-on-one? Yeah. He said, mate, he's done three interviews since he retired.
Yeah.
20 years ago. I don't think I can get him.
And it was great when he got interviewed, because you don't realise, I mean, you do, but I didn't realise, how majestic he was as a player.
Unbelievable player. Yeah. But one thing I look back on really fondly from the Olympics was actually the closing ceremony. So the Swans got asked to be involved in the closing ceremony. And
really?
I was only a young lad then, and, obviously they want to put their best foot forward in front of the world, and so they chose young Rooster, like myself, to actually be a part of the closing ceremony with the boys. And we were dressed up in Bondi life-saving outfits. So we were in budgie smugglers.
Oh, you were doing the thing over your head like Leo Wanker.
No. Except I had to carry Kylie Minogue in on the surfboard and put her onto the thong so she sang her performance. So there was three or four of us carrying her like this into the stadium for the closing ceremony, put her down, and I've got people going, did you look up? And all of a sudden, I go, I didn't even look up because I was that nervous.
Of course, you can't drop Kylie.
I thought she'd break her leg and then she can't sing the major part.
What about any?
But any chat
with Kylie?
We had to do all the practice and stuff like that before.
What was she like?
She was nice. Like, she's only tiny.
Yeah.
But
you're a young rooster and you're not ugly.
We got to hang around in all the athletes and we're just running amok in the middle of just celebrating. It was just a big party.
So if you're into it now, would she remember you reckon?
Oh, please. No.
I thought you were going to tell us a story about the Norway girl at the...
Oh!
No, that's a different story. Okay. More from the Dead Drop Legends later.
Another Sydney Saturday morning. Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M. Dead Set Legends.
The Fooies, the Foo Fighters here on Triple M. Dead Set Legends, and we are back. Jude Bolton, Gus Wall and Wendell Saylor. Get in touch with us anytime on 1-333-53. It is now time for our favourite segment. It is this. Flog or not? Now, that's a little thing I put together just in the break, boys, because we used to have staff here that used to do a big opener, but COVID's knocked us for six, right? So this is the best that we could come up with. Could we do it again, please, Kat? Flog or not? Okie dokie. So I throw out someone's name or a club, and you tell me if they're a flog or not. Good luck with this one, and be careful with your answer.
Yeah.
Nick Politis, for saying that the revised NRL draw is unfair and more of a TV schedule than a footy draw. Flog or not, Wendell?
Not.
Good answer.
Flog.
Oh, okay, that was Jude Bolton. Okay, now please tell us why, Jude.
And you're a Roosters man too.
This is an unprecedented season. They've got to make their best and they've got to try and put it together for the TV. Of course it is.
Okay, it's a not from me. Nick Kyrgios for admitting he sleeps with fans on a weekly basis. Is he a flog or not?
A grade flog.
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 Really?
Yeah.
What, for sleeping with them or for telling everyone that he sleeps with them?
There's no need for him to come out and say that. I don't know why. So you've got no problem as a single man
to look up in the arena and see a girl there that fancies him.
Man, Saffin, you think of the box and things like that. Of course,
he didn't have to say
he doesn't be doing it. But, I mean, just calm it down a bit. You don't need to necessarily tell everyone about it.
Okay. Well, I reckon he's not. I reckon fair play and good luck to you, champion. Yeah. K-League Soccer Club FC Seoul for using sex dolls and sent a mannequins to fill empty seats in their stadium because they're up playing again. So there's six dolls there with the mouth open, the whole bit, all littered around.
It's absolute genius. It's genius.
Are they flogs or not?
Oh, I think they're flogs.
Would you have been talking about the K-League otherwise? No. They've put it on the world stage. It's a great idea.
So you're saying not?
Not.
So Nick Politis is, but K-League Soccer Club isn't. That's unbelievable. Yeah. I reckon they're flogs.
I reckon
they're
flogs.
Put a mannequin up. You don't need to have six dolls.
It's floating
ridiculous. Floating around. A bit of breeze picks them up and floats them across the field.
Exactly. Remember that movie Mannequin? Like this. I don't know why I said that, but
not a bad movie.
Yeah, you're reviewing that later on.
No.
Right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to stop us now.
Wow.
Another Sydney Saturday morning.
Oh, you ripper.
Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M. Dead. Set. Legends.
This is how a heart
There you go, Rob Thomas on Triple M. Gus Wall and Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. This is the Dead Set Legends. Be part of the show anytime on 1-333-53 and, of course, catch up podcast at triplem.com.au and also at the app. Now, last week, one of my close mates had a bet on a horse at 101-1 and it won.
What?
And I'm sitting there on the Sunday morning going, mate, any danger, tipping us into
tip
it.
Us in.
Give us a little.
Throw a dog a bone.
Exactly right. So it just got me thinking, and I spoke to you blokes.
Yeah.
We're going to start a punters club here on the Dead Set Legends.
$100 in each. Yeah, let's kick it off.
Oh, you dokey.
I don't know. I've got to ask Tara first.
Thanks, yeah.
Come on. Okay. Yeah, sure. So we're going to start the ball rolling. $100 in each. Yep. We're giving that to
you. Yeah, I'll run the first week and then I'll get you.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So,
so what are we putting the money
on? So Randwick today, we've got race six. I'm going to go 150 for us on the number eight. So hang on. No, number 10. Race six, number 10.
Yeah.
It's Miss Einstein. We're going to have 150 on the nose. Yeah. And then in race eight, the octagonal handicap, we're going to box a Quinella and go 2, 3, and 4, which is Miss Fabulous, Arch Edemus, and Dealmaker. Wow. And we're going to box the Quinella
We'll whack that up on our socials and on our website as well, so you can follow Jude's call if you like.
As always, gamble responsibly.
There you go.
Sorry, Bruce. I didn't know Bruce McAvaney was here for the second week.
Mate, an opportunity for someone to lob on and be a sponsor for that segment. So come on, Tab or Sportsbet, someone. Come on board. More on the Dead Set Legends second hour coming up in a sec.